there. We normally hold it next to the city venue so that we are not late, but just happened that today we were just too far from the actual venue. Our apologies for that. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everyone here, especially our Deputy Minister of the Trade and Industry, Ma'am Tabete. Welcome, ma'am, and your team. Also, I understand during my absence, when the whip of the committee held the court, we were joined by two members, one from IG, or three, two from EA and one from IG. And I'm told that they are replacing Dr. Mare and Mr. Mare, Dr. Radi and Mr. Mare from DA. I'm not sure because the member from IG was not even attending the committee. And unfortunately, our secretary hasn't updated the committee profile to include the members. So you will pardon me, because from the ACC, we have only one discharge from the Economic Development, which is Dr. Rabi, replaced by Mr. Krumbok. Oh, and then we also have Mr. Mubu, and Mr. Mare is not mentioned here as having been in charge. We will then request the all from the title of the to dispute the request the HEC to take that into consideration. Who is from the IC? Can we then, we also are to be joined from the ANC by Ms. Mohorosi. We just received a letter from the chief's office indicating that he has deployed Ms. Mohorosi to our committee. We unfortunately could not invite Ms. Mohorosi because we did not know of this deployment until this month. But nevertheless, can we then welcome everyone and indicate that this committee has been functioning very well. We are very united, even though we might sometimes differ with the opinions. But at the end of the day, what we discussed here, we make sure that everybody satisfied with the outcome, even if they don't suit him or her, but the committee positions become committee positions. But make sure that we all clarify the issues while we are in the meeting, so that as we go out there, we talk from the right perspective, and we represent the committee correctly. This is what has been through the whole since 2009. Hence, we never had a bad publicity that was done. So we will call upon all those who are joining us to keep up the same spirit so that we can continue serving our people better. Today, we are joined by the Deputy Minister. We've invited the Deputy Minister, Tabete, from GCI, to brief us on the state of the cooperatives in the country. As you are aware, you're aware that we are dealing with the SAMAF, which is actually providing financing for cooperatives throughout the country. We did get several briefings from SAMAF throughout our term until today. And the picture they've given us if as we understand, but we never requested any briefing from the crafters of the law itself and those who are ensuring that the implementation of that law is also followed as is. But also we felt for the benefit of the committee members, we have to understand issues also from the perspective of the people who are managing the law itself. And because they have a bigger and wider picture of what's happening within the cooperative area, they will also be able to enlighten us on other issues that we are not aware of. Within that spirit that we invited them to be here with us, and the deputy minister is here with her head team to brief us on the state of cooperation in South Africa. There are other issues I think we have provided her issues that we want her to cover in their presentation, and she will do so to those issues of safety. We'll then have discussions around that, and then we'll have the Walmart Mathematics adoption of the report, which is the area we omitted when we dealt with the report last year. May we then use this opportunity and hand over to the Deputy Minister to introduce to us, or maybe I should start from our side because we are meeting with us for the first time. We have, let me introduce the members, if I know them. We have from my extreme left there, Member Dodisi, who is a member from the ANC, representing the ANC. We have another member, Mabasa, Shikangoma Mabasa, representing the ANC. We have Mr. Mubu, Hussein, who is from IG, and then we have Mr. Mubu from DA. We also have Mr. Ntuli from ANC, who is also the whip of the committee. We also have next to me here, Mr. Wabadma, who is the member from the ANC. The member who just joined us now is Ms. Van der Merwe, who is also a member of the committee. Matilda Coleman, the chair of the committee. Thank you very much. We also have Lolutando. We have the whip of the committee. I mean the secretary of the committee, who's not here. We got an apology that he's not well. We have Lolutando Saka standing in for him. He is our secretary for today, and then we have our researcher there, Ma'am Nwabisa Belekane. He is the committee researcher. You are confusing me because you are mingled with the department. It's okay. And then we have the coordinator of the committees next to our researcher there, Mr. Mkizi. He doesn't sit in our committees, he just visits from time to time. Yeah. That's the team we have. Where is the committee? Oh, yes, we have the secretary. My PA there is Ms. Williams, and the secretary to the whip as well. That's okay. Can we then continue and hand over to the DM to give introduction and then introduce the presentation? Mm-hmm. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the members of the Portfolio Committee. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, With me, I have not so much staff. They are seated, not in here. But fine. Firstly, I think I have to introduce the DDG, Deputy Director General of the division that is dealing with cooperatives and other issues, small business, enterprise development, etc. All of that. Mr. Sipho Zikota. And then followed by the Chief Director, who is responsible for cooperatives, Jeffrey Luma, next to me. And then we've got the head of my office, next to the DDG, is Lemuane Motshidi. And we've got Carlos Naidu, who is right at the corner. She's our parliamentary liaison person, at the CPR. So I think I'm not going to say anyway. Yeah, okay. Oh, yes. We've got I thought he had the parliamentary staff or the portfolio consultant, but Uzandile comes from the Small Enterprise Development Agency, and she's using the CPPP model, which is a community public-private partnership that is supporting a lot of cooperatives. The structure existed before, but it was like in a lull for some time. It was then revived, and we are working together with us, so that's why she's here from our agency. Otherwise, we would really like to thank the committee for inviting us this morning to come and give you a brief of the update on cooperatives. I'm sure members will recognize that our government, I think, recognize the role that cooperatives have to play in the socio-economic development of our society and also in the empowerment and of impoverished communities. It also recognizes that cooperatives are a means of creating employment and alleviating or eradicating poverty. But it also feels that cooperatives are indeed a business model that I think we support based on the collective spirit that if you are together 5 or 10 or 20, you use a different skill then to make sure that you can support each other. I have an individual people who want to start the business without even having the requisite skills or knowledge or all the issues that then result in most of the businesses then to go under. But also to mitigate the impact of poverty in our communities and develop support interventions to make sure that the creation of viable cooperative enterprises exist. Honourable members, you should all recall that the mandate for promotion and support of cooperatives was transferred from the then Department of Agriculture to the Department of Trade and Industry. This was around 2003 or 2001, the discussion started. But I'm sure Jeff will expand more on that. And this ensured that the cooperatives are promoted in all the sectors of the economy. As the Department of Trade and Industry, we have then created a conducive environment for the creation of cooperatives by all economically active people and in all sectors. We've done this through the drafting of the National Cooperative Development Policy, as well as the Cooperative Act number 14 of 2005, Integrated Strategy on the Development and Promotion of Cooperatives. We are currently in the process of amending the Cooperative Act, and in addition to other new and revised provisions, it will also make the provision for the establishment of structures such as Cooperative Development Agency, Cooperative Tribunal, as well as the Academy that is going to train a lot of cooperatives, because we realize that many of the cooperatives that register the status, they need a lot of training, mentoring, and holding on some of the key strategic sectors that operate. So that is why then we decided that we need to amend the legislation. But as you know, the cooperative policy and strategy clearly states that all tiers of government should promote and support cooperative development. Therefore, we are ensuring that the cooperative development is a development priority at all levels of government. The year 2012, as you know, I'm sure by now, marks the United Nations International Year of Cooperatives, and we'll be launching the International Year of Cooperatives in South Africa on the 12th of March, 2012. The UN International Year of Co-op will then ensure that increased awareness and focus is put on cooperatives and that recognition is given to the role of cooperatives and what then the cooperatives can do or play in the socio-economic development of its members. But moreover, we promote and we think that many members will adhere to the 7 principles of the cooperative because that really helps if everyone from the cooperative understand that and work as a collective and make sure that they cannot falter. So we believe this really will really boost that. And as government, then we have established coordination committee from all government departments, cooperative stakeholders, business organized labor to coordinate and report on the activities that will be carried out during this United Nations Year of Cooperatives. And as part of the celebrations, we are honored to be hosting the International Cooperative Alliance Global Board meeting in Cape Town from the 20th to the 23rd of June this year. We also once again be celebrating the International Day of Cooperatives, which is always the first week of July. Last year we were in the same place. This year we'll be going to Northern Cape on the 7th of July. Well, of course, with the aim of trying to boost the cooperatives in that province, too, because that is the lowest province, as what officials told me. And the current number of cooperatives registered, I think, is plus minus 54,461. But just to be able to dwell much more on that, let me not then say not, I'll leave it to him then to expand. But in a nutshell, the cooperative unit assists in the promotion of cooperatives, though I must confess that through, I think the BDG is here, the unit is not a huge unit. It's a very small unit. And they are really working left and right to make sure that they can be able to do this work. But it is one aspect that I think we have to really go back to see. I look at the capacity of this unit if you want to really make sure that you can make a real impact. But they find to do the best what they can. In terms of what to do, we try to link the cooperatives to market access, but also to make sure that we can support them then to go exhibit their products nationally. Mostly it is three provinces that always have major exhibitions, which is KZN, Cape Town, and Johannesburg. Then the others come, but very small type of exhibitions. But also we take them to international markets, where they can go showcase and really make themselves to most of them. I'm sure you've got the country there and the statistics, but the latest is the two that is, I'm not sure whether you incorporated it.
Yes.
Okay. But he'll be able then to report on that. And also access to finance, as you know, SAMAF, I think, gives it those that make very small loans. Unless otherwise, if the SAMAF money has been paid, you know, dealing with it, roughly people need money from 10 rand or 100 rand to 10,000. Beyond that, then you've got the CIS scheme, which talks about from 250,000 up to 250,000 with assistance ranging from 10,000 or so, taking in account that we've got SAMAF that is there for 10 rand or 100 rand to about 10,000.
Yeah.
Then from 10,000 to about 250,000, then we then assist cooperatives, then we set up fund to buy anything that they want to buy, machines, etc., and all that. And we are now looking at the prospect of trying to look at the expansion program, but Jeff, I'm sure you also talked to that, because 750,000 is not enough for some of the cooperatives, but mainly it is those that are in the primary cooperative level, the secondary and tertiary, some of those that we look more, and also the expansion of the primary cooperative. And also the registration support we give them, cooperative information services, awareness, development of necessary cooperative publications. CEDA provides non-financial and financial support to some of the cooperatives through the cooperative, as I mentioned, with TIO, which is the administering that fund, which is one of our divisions. It stands for the enterprise organization. You'll find it has to use a lot of acronyms because it's shorter, not to go the long name, but we'll try where possible to explain too. And I think on the provincial level, also we've got the picture is put here that some of the provinces have, I mean, started to allocate some money for cooperatives, which is assisting us in any way, because our CIS team alone is not enough, I mean, to take the cooperatives to where we think we want to. But with the partnership from provinces, we are very delighted that the same pay established an Invaba fund that is managed through the ECDC, and the free state as well, they've allocated some 3 million, counting 106.6 million, and Limpopo province as well, 4 million, Northwest 4.6 million, Western Cape 1.2 million, Mpumalanga with that amount. But at the national level, we also try to make sure that we collaborate with other departments. The Department of Labor has developed a worker cooperative strategy and is providing job security information on cooperatives. Department of Public Works has prepared 20.8 million to cooperatives and awarded contracts to 42 cooperatives. COPTA has budgeted 18 million. The Cooperative Bank Development Agency was set up by the National Treasury to provide non-financial support to financial services to cooperatives. But also through KZN Boditala, that is actively supporting cooperatives, and then we see what they allocated. And as well as this fund, then that is with just alluded to, in Baba Fund, and the Enterprise Propeller from Haute. Notwithstanding all the support interventions listed above to promote the development of cooperatives, I think we do have some various challenges that hamper the increased growth in the number of successful cooperatives. Some cooperatives, I think, are sustainable. Some are semi-sustainable. Some are like in the ICU, they need just to be assisted by us. So we don't have a good rosy picture overall. We don't want to come here and give you that rosy picture. We do have a bit of challenges, but we are trying our level best then to work on that as a department. And we are addressing this in various ways to continue to develop strategies and programs to address any future challenges. And we hope that at the end we'll be able to develop a sustainable cooperative structure or movement, so that then we can deal with a lot of challenges that we have identified. But some of the amendments, I can talk to this, because they realize that we need a tribunal to deal with lots of cases that some of the cooperative members come across, and we believe this is the right structure then to support them. I think with those few overview like words, I'll hand over. Not whether the people want to say something now, and then we'll keep to Jeff Ndoma further. And we should say to them.
No, thanks, DM. The Honorable Chairperson and honorable members. I think just to give the background really of what is happening, why we are amending the legislation governing the court regime in South Africa. I think in 2005, as you all know, the cabinet approved the enterprise development strategy. You know, the enterprise development strategy is mainly based on three pillars. You know, the financial and non-financial support for SMEs, and then the regulatory impact on SMEs. And as a result of that strategy, and as a result of the Small Business Act, government established institutions like COOLA, SAMAC, and CELA. But really, there was no institution that was established by government that specifically looked at the problems and challenges faced by co-op in South Africa. So much of that, even within CELA, co-op was just a nuisance. Because they said they are not geared for such kind of work, you know, to deal with such kind of businesses. But then with time, you know, we then started looking at the strategy and the policy and said maybe they need to be an institutional mechanism that we put in place that will support the cause. Obviously, we are not going to establish new infrastructure, requesting a lot of funding from the system. But the issue is maybe we have to look at the existing infrastructure and feedback on that. But then, you know, the amendment of this issue and then the strategy, the development of the strategy, is not done in isolation. You know, as a result of the new administration coming in government in 2009, we know that a lot of changes happened. Some departments were established, like this, the portfolio here, the portfolio is overseeing the economic development department, and some institutions that were under the DCI were transferred to the economic development department. So as a result, we found that the strategy that was approved by the president in 2005 is a bit outdated, because their strategy still talks about SAMAC and COOLA as being part of the CCI organization. So one of the things that we'll also be doing is to amend and update the enterprise development strategy so that it is in line with the current environment. On top of that, you know, we will be developing the informal sector strategy. Because, as you know, most of our co-ops, they find themselves in the informal sector of the economy. So we also want to develop the informal sector strategy that parallel to the co-op strategy, so that we are also able to find ways of supporting even more, you know, the co-op that we hope will be created as a result of this program coming from, that will be coming from the Act. Again, I'm trying to say this because this thing is not done in isolation. We are also developing the so-called regional industrial development strategy. Because of the disparity, you know, that we have in terms of development, you know, between and amongst regions, we have decided to develop the regional industrial development strategy. Under the regional industrial development strategy, you find smaller strategies like special economic zones. I'm not sure whether the DPI has presented the special economic zones to this committee. But the special economic zones, Chair, would be broader than the industrial development zone strategy, because it's also looking at other special economic zones that could be implemented in other provinces, because you know the shortfall of the industrial development zone is that it requires Kagera to have a port of entry, either a seaport or an airport. But then other provinces, they don't have like international airports and seaports. So what do you do in such provinces to develop them? Then, hence the reason we are looking at the special economic zone. Because under the special economic zone, we have the local development zone and other zones that will get a dedicated support from government. On top of that, we have the so-called infrastructure for the economy program within the DCI. We are looking at the old industrial parks that are now lying idle, more especially in the rural areas, in the home about the same areas. How do we resuscitate them? How do we bring in projects there? More especially, how do we assist the co-op in those regions to utilize such infrastructure that is lying idle there, belonging to government, belonging to municipalities, and the town. So we are looking at these things, you know, at broadly. So we'll be coming to committees like yourself, Chair, to present all these new initiatives that are really targeted to support and bring as many people as we could into the mainstream of the economy. My colleague here, Jeff, will go through the slides and then we'll take questions after that. Thanks very much.
Honorable Chairperson and Honorable
Minister. Just before you continue Let me also introduce another member of the committee, Mr. Bonham, from COPE. All right. I'm sorry about that. We spoke of the person from GA, another member, Mr. Kongo. You're welcome. You may continue then.
Some of the issues have already been addressed by the Deputy Minister and also my DDG. I won't labor on those. I'll just focus primarily the ones that we pick up details so that we could just make progress. As I think the DM has pointed out, in 2001, Cabinet approved the new mandate for cooperative development, where we transferred cooperative development from the Department of Agriculture to the DCI. The rationale for that was just simple, really to move cooperatives away, only focusing on agricultural sector, so that cooperatives can be developed broader to all the sectors of the economy. That's the simplest approach. So the department that suited that kind of an approach was the Department of Trade and Industry, hence then that particular decision by the Cabinet in 2001. And then also in 2002, South Africa was a signatory to the ILO Recommendation 193, which really promotes through the United Nations the cooperative development. So we're signatory to it, and then we are adhering to the principles as articulated in that Recommendation 193. And then in 2004, as I think the DM has already pointed out, we therefore subsequently, in compliance with that Recommendation 193, developed the National Cooperative Development Policy. We developed the legislation, which was then promulgated in 2005. And then we are also further developing other policy instruments like the strategy, and then we're amending the Cooperative Act to therefore bring in those instruments to support cooperatives and then, in a way, deepen that kind of support so that we can achieve sustainable cooperatives. And then, so these are the instruments that we have, in a way, developed. But over and above that, we also, through National Treasury, because the responsibility of developing cooperatives is the responsibility of all spheres of government, from the Department of Trade and Industry as the lead department. All other departments have a role to play in supporting that kind of a mandate. So National Treasury, in that respect, which is the line department, developed subsequently the Cooperative Bank Act number 40 of 2007, which was promulgated. It regulates the registration of cooperative banks, and it also promotes them in that regard. Out of that bank, a cooperative bank development agency was established to regulate those cooperative banks from 20 million and below, and then the Reserve Bank of South Africa is regulating the cooperative banks that are from above 20 million and above, and 20 million and above. So in that respect, we have an instrument that regulates the development of cooperative banks in that sense. We are also in that sphere of government, are the lead department where we coordinate with provinces as well as municipalities, in ensuring that through the IDP programs of municipalities and different municipalities, cooperatives find budgets there and that provide support in order that we can then ensure that all spheres of government indeed do provide the support to cooperatives. It is in that spirit that this report is formulated, as you will see, that it tries to begin to speak to all these spheres of government to demonstrate how we are really jointly providing the support on the cooperative. And also, I wouldn't labor the point, the only issue is that there are these institutions who are developing, the cooperative development agents to provide financial support and also non-financial support and streamline the support and ensure that the aftercare that is provided to cooperatives and ensure that there is also education and training that is provided to cooperatives. But moreover, through the cooperative tribunal, we hope to assist cooperatives to mitigate in terms where there are conflicts. We, through that instrument, we hope that we can then be able, that instrument help us to provide judicious management. If a cooperative finds itself that it is in the ICU, I think the DM has already pointed out, the cooperative tribunal will be able to assist in ensuring that we put at bay the creditors not to declare the cooperative as bankrupt and then take the assets and then try to use that instrument to revive that cooperative and bring it back to life. So those are the tasks that these instruments and these institutions are going to assist us in that respect. We do have, of course, the committees that we established to coordinate with provinces and the committees that we established to coordinate with all the national line departments. And then I think, as the DM has pointed out, in terms of this year is an international year of cooperatives, and then in that respect, we are going to be as well hosting here in South Africa the International Cooperative Alliance Global Board meeting in Cape Town from the 20th to the 23rd, and then in addition, we're going to celebrate the International Cooperative Day on 7th July. We are focusing on Northern Cape, primarily, as you see the statistics. Northern Cape is the lowest province in terms of the development of cooperatives, and it is the province where there is limited uptake on the instruments that we have developed to support cooperatives. You will see statistically. That's why we are ensuring that we are going to Northern Cape to be able to bring in a message of cooperative development and also mobilize the communities in that particular part of our province to then use cooperatives as a form of business. This is the calendar of activities that are going to take place during this International Year of Cooperatives. It starts from February, March, in all the months we will be having these activities that we're going to take place. And we're inviting the honorable members to also participate in some of these activities in bringing the message to communities to be able to drive the message home and raise awareness around cooperative development. These are all the activities. We have, as you can see, currently, in terms of the data of CAIPC, which is usually called CIPRO, we've got 54,461 registered cooperatives. But if you look at the distribution in terms of provinces, you'll see that we're saying we've got a total of 40,770 there. You might say, gosh, you know what, these statistics are not in alignment. The reason is very simple, is that those 40,720, in terms of the new data within the CIPRO data, are the ones that have been captured into the new system. We've yet to capture the 13,000 that is the difference within that system, so that we can show the distribution throughout all the provinces. But it is there, those 54,000. It's just that they've not been captured in detail to the new data of the cooperative, of the CIPRO or CIPC, the new term that we use for that institution, the registrar of cooperatives. It's 13,741, the difference, that once we've captured, then it should be reflected that 54,461. So that's the essence of it. This just shows you, in terms of the trend, that how do we see cooperatives being registered from year to year, as well as from month to month. And it also shows you the deregistration parallel to that registration as well. And then it gives you the total, and up to the grand total, which is 54,461 from that. This, it begins from 2003 onwards. That's what we are just demonstrating. Then where we've noted, do note that submit annual returns. Why do we deregister? The CIPC uses the aspect. If a cooperative has not from 1 year or more submitted the annual returns, then they then communicate with that cooperative and then also raise to that cooperative the possibility of deregistration. And then if there is no response from the cooperative or the given time frame, they then deregister the cooperative accordingly. That is the modus operandi that they use in that respect. Now, in terms of the support, as I said, the support is delivered by CTI, but we deliver it in conjunction with national departments and provinces. Within the DTI, we facilitate access to international markets. And then last year alone, the financial year, 11 cooperatives, we took them to participate in Italy on exhibiting their products. 8 participated in the Portugal, and then the 3 in India and 6 in Cameroon. All of these were the support that we provided ourselves to provide access to market to cooperatives. At the national level, 10 cooperatives participate in the food and wine exhibition that takes place in Johannesburg, and then 18 cooperatives participated in the Decorate exhibition. And then we took 5 cooperatives to participate in the BRICS meeting that took place in China in the last financial year. We have also worked out there is a program that we are driving to facilitate the establishment of small-scale cooperatives. Through that program, we've managed really to assist cooperatives to register about those total numbers, 33 in Eastern Cape, 18 in Gauteng, 13 in Mpumalanga, and 111 in KZN. And as you can see, also we've assisted these cooperatives to access funding, which is the CIS, and also other funding from the provinces. We go there and headhold them and assist them to be able to access these things, so that we are dealing with people who are in the rural areas, they don't have the transport, and therefore we go to them and be able to work with them to access these kinds of support directly in where they live. And then also we provided awareness and information through our awareness and information program. We've got walking clients that we've provided assistance on cooperatives, 183 in the last financial year. 47 that we held seminars and workshops throughout the country, where in each seminar or workshop there were an average of about 100 people in each of those. And then also we had the taking to the DTI, taking to get to the people at the Richards Bay and Polokwane, where we had 800 people in the Richards Bay and also about 50 people in Polokwane. And then also, we taking parliament to the people, we worked with the members of the Polo Committee as well as also the trade and industry, the economic one. And then we indeed, at KZN, had about 2,000 people attending that event. And then also the minister's workshop, it was attended by an estimated 600 people. We exhibited our support there. We also provided awareness as to the cooperatives. We held in Eastern Cape the International Day of Cooperatives, and then that was attended by 2,000 people, and 48 cooperatives exhibited their products there. And then we also developed the cooperative catalog This is the document that provides cooperatives that are producing and are successful, are producing quality products. They are in that catalog. We are going to be making available that catalog to members of the economic honorable members as well. 9 studies were conducted to support cooperatives by CEDA, and then 83 primary cooperatives supported through various interventions, mentorship, feasibility study, marketing plan by CEDA, and we've got our colleague there to add more. 6 secondary cooperatives have also been supported by CEDA in that particular respect. And then this is the budget that they utilized and dispersed, which ended up supporting 18 cooperatives in that respect, and 50 jobs were created in that regard. In terms of the cooperative incentive scheme, as from 2005 up to March 2011, we've dispersed 92,523,000, and then also supporting 488 cooperatives. And that is delineated per sector, as you can see. The biggest takers of sector will be your agriculture, 230, followed by your clothing and textiles, followed by manufacturing, and then, of course, followed by services, and then the rest, cultural industries, and the wholesale, retail, and then mining there. And then that is the provinces, that how they have taken up the support, how it has gone up to various provinces in terms of percentages and also the values there. Now, if you look at the last year alone, the provinces that is the lead provinces that have taken huge of the cooperative incentive scheme is KZN, followed by Limpopo, and then also Gauteng. So you can see that those at the bottom, which is a zero, unfortunately, that's why we're having the International Cooperative Day is Northern Cape, ladies and gentlemen, which is the area that worries us a great deal there. And then the budget that was allocated for the CIS last year alone, the financial year, 54,000 allocated from 09 to 11 to 12, 54,000.4 million, and committed 44 million, and then of course the number of applications that were approved 162 in terms of that period, and then of course 1,054 cooperative jobs that were created, and also this is how the instrument is supporting cooperatives in that regard. And then just we also 2011 alone we've dispersed 11 and 12, 37 million, which has been actually dispersed, not committed. And then in that respect, we've got these are the beneficiaries and how that support has gone to the beneficiaries for 2012 and 2011, 11 and 12. We've got the provincial support, 5,000 or 5 million that was provided through loans of seed capital by Eastern Cape through Invaba Fund. And then, of course, 3.4 million to cooperate through the Invaba Fund, and then the other ones were loans and seed capital that were provided there. And then these are the various activities that the money has gone into through those instruments. And then we've got Free State as well. These are the figures. I won't read them in detail. And then we've got Gauteng, and then also Limpopo, and then all the provinces. So I won't go into those details, just we'll deal with them through the questions. The National Department, COPTA, has also provided support. These are the statistics of the support that was given to cooperatives. And then, of course, the cooperative bank. It doesn't provide financial support to cooperative banks, the Cooperative Bank Development Agency, but it focuses primarily on training, on non-financial support. It is through those things like governance and managers training, that's how they support cooperatives. And then currently, we're sitting with cooperative financial institutions, 45,000 in terms of total membership, and 301. Manual accounting, technical assistance, bringing financial cooperatives accounting books to date, performance assessments and financial analysis on financial cooperatives, and give necessary recommendations to improve performance. These are the kinds of support that they provide. They provide to the cooperative bank. And then Italia has dispersed 3 million to cooperatives, in that particular period. This is the breakdown of the ECDC, the Imvava Fund, how it has gone through those different municipalities, and then how in value and in numbers it has benefited the cooperative per those district municipalities of that 23 million dollars. And then you can also see Gauteng Propeller, just the kinds of support that they've provided. They funded four cooperatives last year. They've also given a procurement opportunity to a number of cooperatives there. And I think the DM has touched on the challenges. The key challenges for us, ladies and gentlemen, we have, I think, Cabinet in 2009 and 2010 approved the 10 survey funds. But we had to have the practice note issued out by National Treasury encouraging all tiers of government to provide access to opportunities in terms of demand from the public sector to cooperatives. This is one of the areas that is a challenge for us. We hope that this is the area that could be addressed moving forward to enhance access to market to cooperatives. Also, the other area is that, of course, coordination is still a challenge. It's an area that we are dealing with at district level. We've got municipal spheres of government. We've got challenges where we do have this area remaining an unfunded mandate to a number of municipalities and district municipalities. And then also we have set out through our strategy that all levels of government should support cooperatives. And most provinces do not have strong directorates to drive this agenda. This remains, and if you do have, in some instances, cooperative-driven with small business. And where that is the case, you find that the focus tends to be more small business, and cooperatives are always regarded as after the fact or after the reality. They are not given the priority that they deserve, and then therefore in the competition or the competing resources, the emphasis tends to be tilted in favor of small business than the cooperative. This is the challenge that we're facing, and then that is why in some of our committees, we only end up having junior officials with no decision-making powers who come into these meetings, making our structures to coordinate very weak indeed. And these are the challenges that we want us to bring them forth to you. We're trying to address them with the provinces to work out these aspects, encouraging them to build the capacity to be able to turn the picture around. Though the work is taking place, but it is taking place at a very much lower base with a very minimum capacity in all the spheres of government. Cooperatives have a very low survival rate. Our survival rate is not the one that is impressing us at the moment. We want to turn it around, hence the institutions we proposed, and hence the aftercare support that we're bringing in strongly and more investment going in that respect. We intend to double the CIF. The Cooperative Incentive Scheme, as I just saw it, it was given the budget of $54 million. We want to double it up to $100 million so that we can respond to the demand. The demand is higher, but our supply is not responding and is not in congruence with that demand. And therefore, we want to be able to up the ante in terms of the budget on the CIF. But moreover, we want to be able to operate at the level of expansion. The cooperative incentive scheme only provides support on startup cooperatives. But we don't have the instrument above that will provide expansion support to cooperatives when now they are being strengthened and then they are being grown, even in niche areas, so that we can strengthen them and expand them and ensure that we ensure sustainability moving forward. And then, of course, because of this weaker coordination mechanism, the reporting aspect is also poor. You could see it in our statistics. Our statistics are not reflecting provinces, how they are distributing that support in districts. And then also, how is that expressed? How the IDP programs, we need to be coming in showing what are the budgets that are available in the IDP program for district municipalities and how those have been dispersed and how much of those have not been dispersed and how is the trend? Is it a trend of growth or is it a trend of stagnation and all that kind of stuff, and how is that responding to the demand at the level of that sphere of government? Our report don't have these things precisely because we don't have strong reporting mechanism and the capacity is only existing in some of the spheres of government that I refer to. So these are the kinds of limitations and challenges that we have to contend with. And then, of course, we have articulated to you, honorable members, the programs that we have put in place to try to bring about sustainability of CIS is playing in that kind of space. We also assist registration of cooperatives. We said we handhold them. We go to where they are and provide them. We also want to come up with a tribunal to ensure sustainability, which will provide judicial management, and then we put forward, as well as the cooperative development agency. These are, and then provide market access support, both global and also in the national pavilion here in South Africa, and also bring the and strengthen demand from the side of the public sector through those 10 set aside. If that could be implemented, it will ensure sustainability of cooperatives. But moreover, also use and leverage on the BEE as it is being amended to ensure that we also encourage the private sector to provide procurement opportunities to cooperatives. So these are the instruments, and with those few, I want to thank the honorable members, and also just add that part of our approach moving forward, to add on what my GDG has said, we are going to be coming up with a program to support the development of marketing boards. We don't want those small farmers in the rural side of South Africa to be preoccupied with accessing the market. We want to build on top of their level cooperative marketing boards, which are going to take their commodities to market, whether globally as well as also in the national market, so that they can focus primarily on producing those commodities, tomatoes and all the commodities that they are producing, so that we provide very strongly a market linkage support. That's what we want to be able to bring. We are putting together a program to drive that kind of support. And moreover, we are going to incubate most of these cooperatives. We're going to be working with well-established cooperatives, bringing them into the incubation program, and ensure that we provide incubation support to cooperatives so that they can be managed in the environment whereby they are looked after for a period of 3 or more years, and then they can then be able to stand on their own and then fly in that regard. This is designed to minimize the failure rate that is a bit too high for our own in this particular regard, and ensure that we achieve that sustainability moving forward. I want to thank you, and thank you, Deputy Minister, and thank you, Chairman.
I think, no matter. I'm not sure about either one to add, or you wait for questions, Zambi. Okay, then you keep your professor. All right, I think that's it.
Thank you very much, Jan, for and the team for the working. I think we have a picture now of what's happening within the cooperative sector. I think there's been a lot of cry from the committee itself, very worried about the lack of support and lack of intentional move that would ensure that the sustainability within the sector, and the lack of incorporation of co-ops within the broader SME sector. So I think we can for ourselves maybe then interact with this presentation. I will note Mr. Kwabaza here, Mr. Hussein, Ma'am Kotesi, Mr. Nsule, Mr. Mabasa, Ma'am Kwabaza. Oh.
Sorry. I'll come back to
you, sir. This is the wrong way. Thank you. Okay, may we then... May we then proceed in the order that
you have. Thank you, Chairperson. I want to first thank the Deputy Minister and her team for this presentation, and acknowledge that since the time she became Deputy Minister, there has been quite some activity on this front, and that must be appreciated. But, Chairperson, would like to pose a couple of questions. I hope I want to know. Just very quickly, what, can we have an idea of how many jobs have been created through this very impressive number of cooperatives that is shown up here? Secondly, it would be interesting to know what is the contribution of the cooperative activity to the country's GDP. That is happening. I want to raise the issue of rural presence of cooperatives and their sustainability. I know Comrade Bob is going to raise that. Recent research has shown that most of the cooperatives are owned and run by people above age 34, which suggests that the youth is not participating in the creation and operation of the cooperative. I want to understand what has been the role of the NYPA and previously the Umsobo Youth Fund in this economic fund. Last week, I think, perhaps I'll come back later. You are saying that other departments are participating in supporting the cooperative. Just in practical terms, what does that mean? Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Chairman. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I want to start by saying I think that, you know, since 2005, when this whole cooperative system was introduced, there has been a number of success stories on the ground. I know it because I've seen it, and I've interacted with a number of people who have taken advantage of the opportunity, and indeed it has pulled a number of people out of poverty and given them at least hope that they can fend for themselves rather than having to rely and depend upon handouts. So in the comment that you've made on hoping that your budget will increase from 54 million to 100 million, I can tell you if I were the Minister of Finance, I'll double it two times. Because it gives people hope that they will be able to pull themselves out of poverty and not have to depend on grants and handouts, because that's not what people want. Yeah, I was also encouraged by the intention to move more into industrial zones, and because I don't believe that corporates and people should be restricted to beadwork and burrowboards only. I think people are smarter than that, and given the requisite support, they will be able to do much better work. And of course, the success of the cooperatives depends entirely on the amount of support that they will get. The two questions I want to ask, Chair, and was encouraged by the excellent work that is being done, I remember the comment that was made that the survival rate is low. And so I want to ask, what exactly is that survival rate, and what do you put it down to? Why is it so low, and what is it that can be done to actually increase it? And then, Chair, the second question is that, is there a tool that you have that measures the successes overall of the entire system? If you're putting 54 million rand into something, or a lot more, and the presentation to a large extent was very much about the investment that was made, it covered very little on the returns on that investment, and how is it that we're actually starting to see the benefits of what we've done? So that's the second question. Thank you, Jeff.
My question on page 10 about the number of cooperatives that have been created in 2011. limited to women case as the progress that is in their needs in as far as the cost of consent. But here they did not benefit, and neither reason could be that this has been approved due to inadequate information, but to say the forms are incomplete. And what we do if someone is not filling the form correctly, we just say not approved and forget, or we make a follow-up to ensure that in future people understand how to be informed and provide the required information and benefits. Again, in case 11, we have the same situation under the incentive scheme, that pre-case we do not have youth as a beneficiary and people with disabilities. And very quick again, nothing at all. What would be the reason for them not benefiting from the incentive? Thank you.
Thanks, Chakrasen. I would like to touch. Who is funding, let's say, the cooperative incentive team? Where does this fund come from? You said CIDA is capacitating these co-ops. We have an experience. We have been consuming a time, but they were telling us that it's so difficult to get any help from CIDA. In fact, I went as far as trying to get CIDA together in the summer, but they were saying CIDA is not coming to the party. I want to check here how CIDA coordinates, I mean, its capacity. Do they wait to a person to get funds? Or they just call people to say they need money, they need this. How does it operate? If they are successful, what is the problem? You said displacement but not committed. What does that mean?
Not committed.
You said displacement but not committed.
Committed but not sustained.
No, it's a vice. Okay,
but they did not move out, but not yet given.
Okay, let me finish. Right. Coming to, I had the belief, I remember that he discussed many times that co-ops will be supported, will block. Let's say hospitals, we say co-op must supply food to a particular hospital. Seemingly, we just talk about it, but there are no tangible results. I want to check, is it because of the competition with the other business, or it's an uncoordinated manner from us, or I will say marketing, maybe it's a lack of marketing. But what is the hindrance? Because whenever we need to say, we try to supply food with a fitted skin, whatever, but it doesn't go there, you find something else is happening. So I want to check what are the bottlenecks, or what are the hindrances, or what are the problems. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. My apology, Chair, I'm not feeling well, so I just want to ask that it be regarded in particular that I'm struggling at hidden medication. Most of the questions that I would have asked have been covered. But I just want to express appreciation for one part, a part of the approach of the incubator, as well as
the one of the co-op marketing board, and at the same time as well as to have a training institution that would focus on cooperative. If those can happen, that would be great. But what I do want to ask is, do we have some cooperatives in the country that have developed to a level which satisfies us? Let me tell it ourselves, maybe about five people, where we say these are the typical co-ops that we would want to see throughout the country. And and also, if we look at rural places, at the stage of our grandfather or and grandmother, there was this thing called the litima, or litima, where people used to work together and plow fields, and the job was never too big for them because they had this field. What is it that is not there now? What is it that prevents us from mobilizing people to work in that manner? Because even if they do agriculture, it will mean it becomes economic, because it means fencing around a huge place, unlike if we speak of unit approaches. But my last one is, do we think that the other departments are also appreciating cooperatives to a point where they set aside, where they also budget for them? Because if it is only done from the economic department, it's not going to take us to the degree to which we should develop. Thanks, colleagues.
Thanks, Dr. Mabasa. I have noted Obabu, Ngonyama, and then Nancy.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and apologies that I'm late. And therefore, I have a handicap of maybe missed part of the input. The first thing, though, that I would like to ask is the black-owned, is the ownership of the co-op. And what is the situation or the status around that? The second one is the spread of the co-ops within each and every province, especially in the rural areas. This is instigated by what I've seen in the slides. If I make an example, Eastern Cape is pumping money in Amatole region, and which is where the seat of the government is, and less to places like O.R. Tambo and all other places that are far flung from the seat of the capital, and that. Is it because it's convenient, or is it because it's need-driven? The other one is the model. Looking at the success rate and the chairperson, and it's clear that there's a very strong and a situation where co-ops die fairly quickly. If I look at the page in the background or the state of cooperatives in South Africa document. Oh, thank you. Well, it's for information then for us. I can use it then. And if we use such indicators, it's clear that we're having a very big challenge. What is that an international model that we're using as the country? Looking at everything that you've said, sir, with regard to the challenges, is there a particular model, especially if you take also and what is happening in KZN as a success story, so to speak, because of the political commitment by leadership in KZN, but it does not speak to the success rate at the same time, much as they are able to get people to drive and get into the activity, but they are not able to sustain. What comes in mind, Chairperson, is an example of an example in places like Bangladesh, I think it's referred to somewhere, which is a very good example. And is there something that we're learning out of that? Are there relations with and the Grameen Bank and BRAC and stuff like that, and or even Mondragon, for that matter, in Spain, which is one of the successful stories. I don't know whether they're still in existence, especially in the manufacturing sector. Manufacturing 3Gs and the export and do that. Have we reached that point? Thank you.
Thanks, thank you very much. Going to ask the question that will follow on neatly, I think, from Boniana's question, which is about saying, okay, what is the ultimate objective? What is the anticipated outcome of cooperatives? Is it to have a little community sustain itself? Is it, has it got a further ability to develop into something like a business? So is a cooperative a business, essentially, or is it just a community endeavor to keep the wolf from the door, so to speak? How are the cooperatives envisaged in the policy? I asked this because I was in China last year, and we visited a factory that had started out as a cooperative and had turned into a multi-million dollar industry, making children's trailers, exported all over the world, because these people had ideas. The younger ones in the family joined the organization and became creative, visited other trade fairs and so on. So I wonder what the vision is for the development of cooperatives. The second thing that I want to ask you is that it looks to me like these challenges are pretty basic challenges that are faced. And it's something that I've said to DCR before. It also looks like they're not external challenges. They're challenges that can be fixed by government. And so I wonder how they are being addressed, such as, weak coordination at the government level and that sort of thing. I mean, I think the cooperative development agency is a very good idea. But again, to me, it doesn't actually say how it's going to encourage cooperatives to expand, get bigger, be creative, move on from just a small community endeavor, so to speak. I might have also missed something, so I ask those questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that. And I have Mr. Kumbok, am I correct? The pronunciation is that Kumbok?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Not many people get it right the first time, but it's obviously off to a good start. Chair, thank you for the opportunity. One of the things which seems to be common to all our committees in Parliament is that we do have very good, by and large, and professional presentation, and today was no exception. So I'd like to thank the presenters for that. What we don't often get, though, is something more in the way of a comparative cost-benefit analysis. So coming from tourism, for example, my previous committee, we had very similar presentations about how DCI was assisting EPWP, and millions of rand goes in, and there's very glossy pictures of what comes out. But very few occasions, indeed, are there presentations or figures which indicate just how cost-effective it is. Now, we all know we have limited budgets. We are a developing country with first and third world elements, and we would like to do much more than we can do, but the funds are limited. And while the presenter was going through his slides, I also was looking at the other document, which is incredibly well researched, the background paper. And it seemed, following on from the previous member, I'll have to get to know the names pretty soon. That there are, as you said, a lot of basic problems that exist. And my question is this, is there a sense, or is there some kind of handle on the support that has been given to the cooperatives and what that works out to be in terms of every job created? Okay, it's a very specific question. What is it actually the support amounting to compared to other projects that government is involved in terms of the cost of the average job created? I think that's the benchmark against which we have to measure much of our input. And the support we give to various initiatives in the private sector, in this particular case, is something of a hybrid. And until we know those figures, we won't really know whether we should, in fact, be cutting back or increasing our budget, because clearly government would like to promote those industries and give support where it's having the most impact. And one wouldn't want to sort of put money into initiatives that are actually turning out to be very expensive in terms of job creation, if one could do more in areas where it is, in fact, a whole lot more effective. So I'd really like to get a sense of where we're going in that regard and how the department sees its role in creating jobs at a particular cost compared to other government initiatives.
Thank you.
Not really. I just wanted to give another chance here. Sometimes when there's a lot of people who speak that I've got some other ideas from other people. But on page 10, I see this map and the figures related to the distribution of the sector of disbursement. The question, of course, up is, I see that agriculture accounts for about 47% of the all disbursement over the period of 2005 and 2011. Mm-hmm. Now, my question is, to what extent has the issue of land, restriction, land ownership, impacted on what cooperatives that work in the area of agriculture? The last question I was going to ask is, what is the role of the national government agents in this? We don't hear much about it. I mean, it's a very quiet organization. Does it have any role in assisting corporate? Thank you, Chair.
Which one? NDA?
Yes, National Government Agents, isn't it? NDA.
NYTE?
No.
NDA.
Oh, the NDA. Okay.
No more after thoughts, I guess. That's the last one.
The last one.
Considering
time. Yeah, we'll have a breakdown in terms of the volunteers and the classification of the male, female, and people with disabilities. If we can get more information regarding, you know, social trade. With the projects that are getting money for digital health happen. We have other races getting more funds than others. Don't know whether it's because of the skills that people have developed to the extent or other reasons that you may hear from you.
Okay. I just want to build on that question, ma'am. Yeah. The coordination of this funding. One. secondly, are you funding directly to the co-op or are you using any intermediary? In terms of the support, I mean, the four pillars of your strategy are very clear. You said three, but I think they are very clear. What I want to find out, one that speaks to awareness, for instance, of your product, which, you know, giving that type of awareness to our people. We went as a committee to push it, for instance, in KZN. Well, while we were looking at co-op funded by SAMA, we were also looking at coordination, integration, and common support from government, you know, in terms of this, the work of this co-op. The challenge was very clear. Some of the challenges were mentioned here by but I just wanted to find out, in the work that you have presented to us, how far is that coordination? For instance, were you giving us just information related to CIS? Were you giving us information as collected in the whole country, for instance, so that we are able to know the state of the real status of co-ops in the country? Since we have CIDA here, which was, I think, we worked with most of the co-ops before they even begin, some of them, they are actually recommended by CIDA to the funders themselves. I think it will be proper that we get that type of coordination, whether is it also part of the challenges that you mentioned, or is it the work that you're still, you know, doing with it? I have noticed many questions here, but I feel, because of time, we should just give you an opportunity to respond, otherwise we won't be able to give you our next answer. To give you that opportunity to respond to the questions as posed by members, and we still have a little bit of time to then get follow-up questions put to you. Madam Deputy Minister, may I then give you the opportunity to tell us who asked who answers for?
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair. I think they'll answer questions. I'll try and answer the easy one. as a policymaker or as to treat them, then take the difficult ones, all of them. But I think to me this is just the first time. We won't really do justice, I think, to answer all the questions. And the input is based on the questions that we get to us or to me. There were three questions that which we tried to answer them. But inadvertently then the follow up trigger other questions. That talk about job creation that was created, you never ask us to come with those figures. Because it is not going to be good to try and dump that now.
No.
The cooperatives, as we said, are spread over the provinces. Let's take those, some of them, then we'll come back, I think, with accurate answers. Unless you want us to give you estimates. But I don't think that will be correct. And we will take, I think, most of those. But also just to touch on the issue of the model and what you want to achieve. I think from the time started with the legislation and the time that the government, it was quite clear. We wanted to make sure that we can deal with unemployment. We wanted to make sure that we can deal with the enterprise development, because we believe the cooperative should be business entities. That's why then we came with the CIS, which is the scheme that there are questions to say who's funding, agree that. We then developed this scheme from DTI to assist with the buying basic equipment, like machines or tractor or motor car, whatever, to deal with assisting this co-op because they cannot qualify to go to the bank and get money. Hence, they started the scheme. At first, we started the scheme giving up to 250,000, but in special projects that were going up to 4 to 5 million. in that, that was run by the unit itself, and then there were lots of money that we're not happy with in terms of spending that money. Then it came back, then we said the division of TIO, which is the enterprise organization, which overall ABCI deals with incentives that drive, will then be the department that will be able to do this and try to make sure that we can then get a better system. Within the system, then it works better because funding comes directly from the applications go to them as the as TIO through CIS scheme. You've got an adjudication board that sits and look at all these applications, weigh them, see them whether they are worthy to be supported or not, and then they are able then to assist us and guide us then in terms of funding them. So that is what is going on. But in terms of international best practice, I think there was a question that the other countries like Italy, Bangladesh, Spain, but I think next door to us, Kenya, has got a very good model in Africa here. The question is that our models don't talk to the value chain. Because of course you don't just have to assist the catering one or the one that is dealing with the catering only, not looking where is the material from. That's why then we try to amend, because we have to look at those issues, because once you don't talk about the value chain, you miss out the whole thing. KZN, I think, has got a good program and housing. They've dedicated the lead men to the hospital. The co-op must do those. But the question is the material, where they buy it, and printing, etc., and all that. But they are trying, because that is what government is supporting them on. But on the tenor side that Jeff presented, those are the 10 products that government uses every day, like stationery, event management, buying toilet paper, and others. We felt this was going to assist many co-ops, but the treasury told us that it is unconstitutional to just have the set aside. It must be competition for everyone. We should believe SDTI want to take it back to cabinet, because if we don't do that, we won't support a lot of cooperatives to where we want them to, because we believe that. But also, I'll ask the members, also try to support these. Don't just talk about government saying something. This tool that I'm wearing today is a product of one of the co-ops that we funded. And this co-op is able to export now to London some of this material that you see. It's quite a nice material that you wear any time for any event, and quite good. But because we assisted them with, you know, finished touch-ups and all the stuff, they do good quality products. So buy from them as well. Promote the proud USA. I know you like your suits and shirts and all that and ties, but at times you need to promote them and buy material from them so that you are supporting them. And don't just ask us about what funding is it value for money or whatever. But looking at where we started as a country, I think we are doing better, but the budget, I'm sorry, that we are given, you cannot then get good results with the money that is allocated. You can go anywhere you want to do whatever thing, unless, you are part of our social, not to lobby, but to just make it happen that we can get better budgets. We don't do much. There's no point in us having good policy but not giving money unto them adequately, so that we can be able to do this work. It won't work. Partly that is the problem, that we find that we are stretching here and there and not getting the necessary assistance. The NDA, as far as I understand it, social development deals with projects. But we are trying to work with them to deal with the exit strategy from project into business. Because a project is a charity that you go and apply for social development, pump money in there, and once you stop that experience, stop funding, then the project dies. But we say cooperatives are not a project. Cooperatives must be looked at as a business entity. Hence then, so they can be, because the whole issue was to give them a startup. That's why we have the CIS, because we believe it's better to give them this money, and then they need to create the sustainability within that model and make sure that they can then grow so that we assist others, not that we assist one project only. This can work. I think here in our country, not even going international, KWV was started as a co-op. Pumped money, not 150,000, billions of money was funded at the time during the National Party government. Today, KWV is a multinational company, good work. So unless you are committed in putting a lot of money and support mechanisms in place. We can see a lot of KWVs emerging. So it is upon that that then we need to look at this, but saying what is it that we can do better so that we can then realize that ultimate goal. So the question of what you want to achieve to me is quite clear. You want to make sure that we can empower a lot of people, we can, so that they can end up being big companies. In other countries, cooperatives own hotels. They own hotels, some by workers' union, some other, but they are cooperatives, but they are within the spirit and they understand. In our country, I think partly, the concept of cooperative to me has not yet sunk in many people to say, what is it all about? So as much as we give support, we also educate, we also make the awareness, we do all sorts of things in one. And that we are not going to achieve the ultimate goal at once. And remember, the majority of people that want to ask, many of them never received good education. You can say what you say, education is a source of all these things working better. Because these people, I mean, we're talking with of Jan van Riebeck, arrived in 1652, with the dromedaries, we expect them to have the marketing scheme and know how to do protections and all that. It is not real. No. It is not real. People were not taught economics. They were not taught accounting. They were taught these things so that they can be dependent on this and go and get work. You change the mindset of people so that they know that I agree with another member who's saying we are trying to make a difference. And some people see this as a vehicle that will assist us as a developmental state in any way. Because I'm not a welfare state, but I mean, what you get from after 18 years, partly because of our past and grants and everything. So you cannot have that structure that will be like in those countries that is working okay. You're working with India very closely. They've got the self-help group mechanisms and all that. You must look at your country and you know your problems need them. You can't be someone that will treat exactly. So our model, I think, to me, partly, doesn't look at the overall picture, but it just tries to give you the intervention type of a strategy. That you to our partner is right where you must start, but please don't expect good things like this. You are talking to a country that is saving, I mean, what? A lot of PhD people and economists and accountants. No. And cooperatives were geared in any way for rural people because they were not able to access what others in urban cities can access quickly and all that. But then spread it into urban, because if people form a cooperative and they're able to come with the business plan more than that, assist, we do assist. And the youth, we also try to assist youth cooperatives. It's very active in terms of the do. We finalize the youth strategies. And women, those calls, we give them priority. But just to give an example on the previous Umsobovu question on what we do, concerning Mangai Nkosi now, I'm sure you know she's now a big businesswoman. But Sun Goddess and all those things here, yeah. She was assisted by Umsobovu Fund. She's a beneficiary of Umsobovu Fund and partly DCI. Because we assisted her as a black emerging designer to start with going to international market parties and all that, and assisted her with the intellectual property rights and branding of all what she has. That's why she's now enjoying, you know, royalties and all that. So that is partly the good example that you can say. But most of those people don't say we were assisted by Mtomovu or we were assisted by government. If they get to ask questions, you know, I was struggling on my own, my family or my husband, them go to assist me. That's what they say. Almost the majority of them. But the top five, David Lane, Kitty Moll, and Heck and Sunny, they were assisted by us to start from where they were. Today, they are there. That is what we do as government. Assist those that start with a good mood and lift them up. But once they are there, they don't say a thing. That we are here because we have been assisted by government. They all name other things. I think now we said it should be compulsory as a department. To say if you assist, we publicize it. Even in your company, say empowered by Utomogo or empowered by GTI. So that people will know that this is what we have done. But I think on the other hand, quite a lot of questions that are very good. And I don't want to take all of them. I'll leave them the difficult ones to them to answer. But please, let us come back again, I think, with more information. And your questions must also be precise. Don't ask us the three general ones. And we come here, you ask us a lot of others now that you are thinking about the as we present. Give us good chance there. But there are challenges, you said so. And you believe with yourself, you can come up with very good solutions. And I'm not sure who wants to start. In Kiti and Zandi, those that were not
just to clarify on the question, we asked the Prince of the call members. We were briefed by the DG of Economic Development, Mr. Levine. And we just wanted to understand the status quo in terms of co-op in the country. Secondly, I think in terms of the spread, the gender, I think race and if I recall well, I can't recall the third one. But those were general, really, as we normally do. But I agree that since it's the first time, perhaps we will request that we get some of the responses, because they are very proper. The responses we get them in writing, so that we can then be able to update our work, because this forms part of our work. It informs the work that we do. We want to be as informed as possible, and also that when you comment, you know, there's nothing that irritating, like a person commenting on something that he or she thinks she knows, whether she don't know. And we become very confident when we ask questions, only to find that we really don't know a bit. Hence, we found that we thought we should call the experts in this field, that we can then educate us more on this cooperative issue. We appreciate what you've done, and if we ask too many questions that we did not cover, it's not a, I don't think it's a transmission, it's something that we can still work on.
Through you, Chair. I think, for example, co-op in the South African context, they should be viewed within the context of South African dynamics. There are social forms of ownership that are intended to change ownership of input production, first and foremost. But also, they are also a tool of ensuring that the role of SME in the economy gets either improved, but also to improve that it is to respond to one question that said, what is the contribution? We, for example, cannot stand back now, but it's also to ensure that. And also, as the DN indicated, we still need to communicate activity in rural areas, because we know that we have displaced urban areas in our form of understanding. To ensure that there is an uptake of business, for instance, with Zimbabwe, Babelia, and others, those are displaced economic areas. And co-ops are one of the areas that we intend to utilize to ensure that there's economic activity. I'll also look at the coordination with, for example, the process. The reality, as my colleague indicated, is an area of business. The Department of Trade and Industry will provide the CIS, but with aftercare. We found that there's no aftercare. The coordination between us and the Department of Community Development is that process. The majority didn't have that information in their data. And it's an area that we must strive to perfect as we seek to strengthen our partnership. I remember when KZN, it was KZN, the Department of Economic Development raised that issue sharply, saying that we need to improve that. But my colleague who indicated that it is because in the coordinating committee, the officials that are sent are very senior officials, and as a result, the information does not flow through. And furthermore, on strengthening partnerships, contributing partnerships, we have taken it upon ourselves as ensuring that the institutions such as the National Youth Development Agency, we will come with initiatives that, for example, will ensure that there is intake of young people into cooperatives and they begin to participate One of those, for example, last year we launched a program in Pumalan, whose feed on paper juice. But it's an uptake, it's one of those uptakes of young people now participating in the cooperative movement. And in Gauteng, also the partnership which Mr. Ndumba is leading that, as you can indicated, is leading that where there's a proliferation of cooperatives, but it should stimulate cooperative movement participation for young people. And I will leave others maybe for my colleagues to then respond to them, maybe add on later. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Deputy Minister, thank you. Honourable members. I think what I would like to explain first in terms of the CEDA approach to the development of cooperatives is a kind of a very cooperation that we have developed. In terms of the, what the Deputy Minister indicated on the development and ensuring that there's a value chain, before we can actually adopt and say we're working with this particular cooperative, we make sure that the cooperative is one of those that can lend itself to very clear collective ownership, partnership, as well as mainstreaming. By mainstreaming, one that will show that there is possibility for ensuring that the cooperative will look at the entire value chain. So with respect to the question from the member from KZN, what we first do in order to ensure that we work well with cooperatives, we have what we call awareness workshops in the 42 branches that we have countrywide. And in those awareness workshops, the first thing that we do, we go through a modelization phase where we educate people on cooperatives, educate people on registration. The registration of cooperatives is one of those very most expensive. It's not just a matter of filling up forms and all that. You've got to develop constitutions, you've got to be educated. You have to understand that the actual cooperative concept moving forward. So you find that from the mobilization phase, there are quite a few that decide that this is not the way they would like to go in terms of their businesses. Out of that awareness, then we do actually register a number of cooperatives, take them through that mobilization right up to enterprise development. KZN on its own, we have in the agriculture sector that are already operational, not those that are currently in the mobilization phase. We have worked with 16 in agriculture, 2 in tourism, and 7 in auxiliary. Auxiliary, we classify auxiliary those in cooperatives in sectors such as retail, in construction, in textiles, bakeries, and financial services. That's how we classify them. And there was also another question regarding CIS not being accessed by 2 provinces, 3 states, as well as the Northern Cape. We also assist, we sit on the board of the CIS. What has happened in those 2 provinces in the past year at least? I know that the partnership that we have with the provincial government, as well as some of the municipalities, has actually brought in the funding. So there was never a necessity for us to go the CIS route. So the partnership issue is actually very important. That's how we work with provincial government, with certain municipalities, where we bring in the capacity, we bring in the technical capacity, and where they have set aside funds for cooperatives, we actually leverage those funds through the partnerships that we have with the various governments. So that answers it.
Okay, I'm going to take over since my DDG is going outside to nature call. I think we conducted in 2008 a detailed survey which answered all the questions that you raised on GDP contribution, on cooperative, on employment, on membership, on all these particular issues, which was the data that was given. But we believe that particular survey that we've conducted is a bit old. We want to update it now and bring it to the current reality. Because as there's been a lot of investment that has taken place from 2008 right up to now, which we want to be able to therefore analyze in detail to see how it is really impacting now. From the picture that we got from 2008 right up to now, so that we can have a universal picture that tells us how have we therefore transformed the society and the impact, because these are outcome-based interventions. We want to see the investment that we've made into the economy on corporate issues. What are those returns? In terms of jobs that have been created, in terms of poverty eradication, how many people have been booted out of poverty? This is a survey that we are now commissioning, which we want to be able to bring that people, so that we can then be able to bring it to the current reality for you on employment. That's why, at the moment, our answer to you that we've given is very much one financial year. We don't want to give you one financial year. We want to give you a 10-year period of trend of whether are we looking at a trend of decline or a trend of upward growth or a trend of stability. Like a company. A company can just break even and survive for about 4 years. Or it could be able to be at a profit margin for a particular period. Or it could be on decline. So this is the kind of analysis that we want to do in terms of the cost-benefit analysis that my colleague has raised there, so that we can answer those questions and demonstrate to you members whether this is an investment worth moving forward with. But I want to say this in that regard. The aspect that must be appreciated by honorable members, the aspect of developing cooperatives is not a short-term approach. We should never delude ourselves and have a short-term approach when it comes to the development of cooperatives. We must take a medium to long-term approach perspective here. Countries that we tend to talk about that have succeeded in cooperatives, we're looking at countries like Kenya, 100 years, they've been there in the business. We're looking at countries like Brazil, they've been there in the business of developing cooperatives for the past 6 years. Spain, Mondragon, years, decades and decades. That's the approach that we must be able to look at. And then ask ourselves that as we're making the investment from year to year, are we moving upward or we're moving downward? Because the issue is not going to be growth. We're going to have steady growth, but moving upward, which I think therefore will then take us to a very high level. That's the reality that we want to present next time when we've got the last survey conducted to you. Answering all, survival rate, in our last report, the survey that we did, which was in 2008, it pointed out that the survival rate at that time was 10%. 10%. So if you take 100 cooperatives, only 10 will survive. Alright, that's the reality of the matter that the 2008 report showed us. But now things have changed drastically. We want to be able to pick up now. Are we still starting that 10% or things have improved to much better figure than the previous? That's why we are conducting this particular survey. So that we can then say, in the interventions and some of the instruments of discipline, have we turned the corner around on that particular aspect? That's the answer that I will then provide. We do indeed, in that catalogue that I've talked about, have not just 5 very successful cooperatives. We've got more than 25 cooperatives that we can demonstrate to you that are making bigger impacts to South Africa. Why? For example, let's just meet the coming Cape Town. We've got 5 cooperatives that we're taking to China in the matter of about 2 weeks that are going to be exporting to China. Why? Which are owned by the community and it's by like the black community here in Western States. I just want, that's not so anything. And those are just one of the successful ones. They are at this rate to medium to large cooperatives that are there, that were sitting there, so that collectively they are able to then have the uptake from the Chinese and meet that uptake on a collective basis. If there are big orders, they can then be able to fulfill those big orders collectively and in the process grow further than what they are at this particular moment. Just to give you an example of the number of cooperatives. And they are there also in various particular sectors of the economy. That we, even in mining, we do have very much successful cooperatives that are there that we can bring forth in that regard. Model. The model that we've adopted and the vision that we've adopted in South Africa is very basic indeed. We are looking at cooperatives as the mobilization of social capital from communities. Communities in their own, if they're acting individually, they cannot be able to pull together high capital, which is social in nature. But if we mobilize them on a bigger scale, we can then be able to mobilize those social capital through
at the cooperatives, and we see it as a form of a business. It's not a charity aspect. It's a form of a business that can mobilize a number of people and mobilize that social capital, which will therefore leverage on government capital to create jobs and also to eradicate poverty in communities and empower communities and transform South Africa in terms of ownership partners, in terms of wealth creation, so that, in fact, improving people's lives is the distribution of income. Where is the income in our economy flowing now at the moment? Is it flowing to black people? How many black people are having income that is captive to them and it hits them 4 or 5 times? In fact, by and large, to be frank, I can just put it here. Most of our people at the moment, the income flow that comes to them, it comes at once and then goes somewhere else. It doesn't come to them 3 or 4 times. If you want to develop a community, you want an income flow that will hit you 3 or 4 times in this form. It could be a salary that you gain. It could be able to be participating in a conference, in a financial conference, increasing interest to you, which comes back to you. It can be also in a form of a particular cooperative, a consumer cooperative, which you are able to get discounts on the commodities that you are buying, from that particular consumer cooperative. Therefore, that income, it hits you on a multiple platform, and therefore in the process you get developed. That's the approach. That's why we are adopting the cooperatives. We want to be able to create those kinds of the change of the flow of income to our people, and then it's able to enable them that it hits them more than just once, but multiple times, and then in that way they'll be able to develop successfully.
But
therefore,
can
yes.
I just make a follow up so that you clarify your input
yes.
or your point of view?
Yes.
Okay, you give a co-op so much money
right.
as a grant
right.
or as a lending, let's say, and then you want it from, so to move from one to when. I think that's one some of the questions that you're asking.
Right.
What would be the ideal co-op, or maybe let me put it the other way, what would you take? Or what would you say is an ideal co-op and what is a service department?
Correct.
A company that's able to produce or to have an income of so much, for instance, so that you're able to move it from this level to another level.
Okay.
I think that's what members would want to understand. So that we also know how to approach issues going forward.
The ideal notion of a cooperative, we must not look at it from a point of view of the size. Alright? Size also does matter in certain circumstances. But we must look at it from a point of view of sustainability. Is this cooperative able to meet, one, the needs of the members as it was established? For example, if it's a cooperative, consumer cooperative, to be able to bargain and bring products to that community on a discount basis. Is it able to do that? And in the process, generate a surplus for those members while it does that kind of a service or that kind of a need for the members, and simultaneously be able to generate enough surplus that sustains it moving forward beyond just 3 or 5 years. So we're not looking at cooperatives in terms of bigger money, but we're looking at them in terms of, are they meeting the needs of members? Are they able to generate a surplus that enables them to be sustainable and enable them to grow beyond the level which they are at? They might be at the level of 5 million, the annual return or the surplus that comes to them as the annual return. Down the line, they end up sitting at 10 million annual return, with the surplus that is sitting at them, maybe 2 million, that goes back as patronage refund to members. Those are the kinds of scenarios, but it differs from one scenario to another. Because sometimes in other areas, it's the niche area that cooperatives have chosen to be able to occupy. It might not be too big, but it might need to be able to be medium in size and be able to grow and be sustainable and meet the number of members that are there that are able to be interested in it. So you cannot straight jacket that particular aspect and have a one-size-fits-all. It differs from one particular aspect to another. That's what we are trying to be able to achieve. But the essence of it, the sustainability of that cooperative, is the key task to all of us. So those are the issues. And then the other aspect, just to conclude, because I won't be able to deal with all of it, we've done the benchmarking internationally. We presented a our strategy here, showing a number of benchmark things that we've done with India, with Bangladesh, with Kenya, with Canada, with the United States of America, and also with Spain and Italy. We've gone to all those countries. We know what is existing in those countries. Italy specialized on water cooperatives, very much successful in that particular area. Why is it successful? Very simple thing. Italy's government has gone out on the worker cooperatives to make sure that it provides to them, these worker cooperatives, high levels of using, it takes workers, it looks at workers in terms of the money that they generate when they go in retirement, when they go, they lose the job, what is that particular thing that, when they are retrenched, the retrenched fund. And then it then puts incentive capital on those retrenched funds and mobilize those workers to start their own particular factories. It also assists cooperatives, or what we call workers, who are in an environment or a company that is dying, and asks them to be able to take it over and then run it because they've already have possessed skills within that particular entity. These are the kinds of direct interventions that it provides to ensure that it has high level of worker cooperatives that are in production. There are instruments that it provides to ensure that particular success. If we go to, for example, in, just to give you an example, in the country which is Brazil, the approach is also very simple. They look at marketing cooperatives. They are linking cooperatives to market. Flower industry. 80% of the flower industry in Brazil is dominated by cooperatives. These are cooperatives where they mobilize farmers who are in particular small quantities. And they've created a bigger market. We were there with the DDG. They've created a bigger market where all buyers, retail stores, they come into that platform to buy from all the farmers through this particular cooperative market that was established by all the farmers. So that is market linkages that they've developed in that particular. And these are the kinds of things that we want to be able to do here in South Africa. That's why we want to start the marketing board. So that the farmers in various commodities don't need to struggle with going and sell products. These marketing boards must buy from all the farmers who are developing in our website, and then they do the marketing of the commodities and improve the quality of those particular commodities. And in the process, more people are going to be mobilized to start raising commodities, tomato, potato, and in that way we're going to be able to eradicate poverty. That is the model, and that's the vision we want to go into. DDG, I want to hand over to you.
Well, Jeff, my friend, you have covered everything.
Okay.
But, Chair, I think just to clear a few words that as the DTI has already signed.
Before you sum up the response, there was a question whether the financing of co-op is it need based or is it an issue of convenience, looking at the spread. Of the spread as provided in the plan. I think the other one, the NGA role. I think the NGA provides grants up to 3 million for co-op. They start, they assist co-op with registration. They work together with CEDA. In assisting those co-ops, I have a first-hand experience in that also. That's I'm talking about here, the NGA. So the question was whether there is any linkage between what NGA is doing and what the CIS is doing. Yeah. There were other questions.
Follow up for me. That's on.
You come and follow up. I just wanted to ask you the initial question. You've spoken to some, yes. I think it's. We must just agree that the written responses will be on jobs created, who gets grants and why, and who gets who's eligible for other financing. just an understanding of the tenor side. So the questions, I don't know whether you come back to us with
in
written form that you have left, or whether you've left them deliberately with an intention of responding in writing, or you were still coming to ask to that.
Okay. Let me take a few of them now, and then, but most we will answer them in written form, so that the members get all the written answers in all these particular. Let me just deal with some few. On ownership, there are two kinds of ownership patterns that are existing in South African cooperatives. Your previously owned in the agricultural sector cooperatives are mainly the ones that are now medium to big in size, are mainly white owned at this particular juncture. Some of them have done BE, deals with their various black communities, particularly in the areas that they are at. And then they've recruited members to join those particular cooperatives who are black people in some of those. But the bulk of the cooperatives that came from 2005, during the Cooperative Act, when it was promulgated, most of them, I would just say even up to 90% of those are black-owned. Women own 60% of those are women owned in terms of the survey that we carried out. And then, of course, the other 20% are coming from the youth, and then the other rest are the disabled, with about few percentage in the disabled. We've got those particular statistics. But the ownership patterns on the 2005 cooperatives that we are now intervening on and supporting are 90% black owned. So the issue of ownership is an issue. In fact, what is happening is that we are beginning to integrate a number of black people using cooperatives into the mainstream economy. That's the reality. And then on the issue of the funding that is there, the tools that we use with the CIF is the previously CIF used to fund giving cash to members directly. The members will say, we want machinery or fixed capital investment of this particular amount within the band of what is allowable, and then they will then be able to save, and then we will then ask them to give the bank account, and then we hand over the money directly to them through on the bank account. But what happened there, this is what we picked up, what happened was that the majority of the people just spend that money. They don't even carry out in doing the cooperative business as the intention was. We then, among themselves, they just spend it and going to, What then we then did was to change the model, all right? And then now, instead of giving them the cash, we then we get them to a quotation of three service providers, and then through those three services, we look at the cheaper one in terms of price, and then we then select that one, and then we buy them that particular capital or the startup stock that they need. So you could say, yes, they are intermediaries, but those intermediaries are the suppliers that we're purchasing the goods from, to then give it to those corporate. In that way, we're encouraging them to start that production if they wanted to be in production and do that. Because it's very difficult to sell capital, you see, if you have already done it. I think people know that. So it is in that way that we're able to encourage them then. When it comes to all the agencies that are existing currently, there is co-funding arrangement that is existing between CIS and NEF at the moment, as well as also the cooperation that is existing between CEDA and the CIS, and also CULA as well. That relationship was established from these agencies so that if there is a project, but we can see that this particular cooperative needs amounts that are above 350,000 or to a particular million, but we know that if you give them purely the loan, they will be highly indebted, and in that way it could undermine the sustainability of that cooperative. We will then mix it with a grant, so that another money is there that is in grant form, another money is in loan form, and in that way they are able to survive and they are not highly geared
as an entity, and in that way undermine the sustainability and the survival rate of that enterprise. So it is that combination of the cooperation between these agencies within the CTI community that is taking place. But what we have not yet strengthened, which some of us mean, is the co-funding arrangement in provincial base and the agencies on the provinces, as well as also the other agencies that are sitting with other nine departments, like the NDA, for example, with the Department of Social Development. Those are not well strengthened in terms of cooperation and co-funding arrangements in that regard. That's where now the challenge of coordination, which we want to be able to address, comes in that particular regard, Chairperson. And then the other aspect is that the budget, most of these entities, particularly the department as well as even the municipalities, are as yet to give us the budget. It's not the allocation of money that we're interested in. We're interested in that allocation, but we're also interested in the spending of that money. Where is it going? And then we're also interested to see whether that money, as it is being, that budget, is it increasing in quantum or is it reducing in quantum? And where is it? These are the kinds of analysis that we're looking for from a government point of view. That's so that we can then be able to see how are we impacting and what is the impact at the end of the day of some of these kinds of investments in various departments. There are departments where they don't have budget. There are those that do have budget allocated for cooperatives. Others, they provide support on cooperatives through SME, or what you call enterprise development budget. But you don't see there within those budgets what is the quantum that goes to cooperatives and what is the quantum that goes to other forms of business. Then you are unable to do an analysis to see what extent is this thing really impacting or not impacting. Is it adequate or is it not adequate? So it creates a very fuzzy picture of a reality, so that you are unable to be able to do a very scientific analysis to see where the problem is and then be able to nip it in the bud. These are the kinds of challenges that we're talking about that we want to see. But the bill, the act is very clear. All spheres of government must support cooperatives. Nine functioning departments, let me use an example, National Treasury. National Treasury is a nine functioning department dealing in finance sector of the economy, or what do you call it, the financial sector of the economy. It covers insurance and the finance, broadly speaking. What then, that particular, in the cooperative terms and in the air, it must then be able to assist in the development of cooperatives in that sector. And work together with us as the department in developing that. It helps then with the Cooperative Bank Act. So the support that we're talking about must be sectorial in character for national departments, so that they are able to bring cooperative development in those various sectors that are in line with those nine departments. That is what we mean, cooperating and partnering with us as the lead department. That is the approach to answer the question that says, what does that support mean from these particular departments? It practically means that sectorial support that is in line with the overall economy, because we are here to coordinate for the overall economy, but nine departments in sectorial terms must be able to put investment and be able to come up with interventions that are going to speak to those particular sectors and be able to assist in the developing of cooperatives in those given particular sectors that falls within. Mining, for example, will have to be able to assist us in the development of cooperatives and come up with mining instruments or support instruments to bring about cooperatives within the mining sector. That is very departing, and even the energy department in the energy sector in Bangladesh that we were asking, we wanted to know. They're giving all energy to communities through cooperatives. Communities are supplying their own energy. It's not supplied by any particular company, it's communities through cooperative ownership who are supplying energy directly to given communities. And if we make these strategic decisions in South Africa, then we'll be able to grow cooperatives and say that is in the energy distribution character. We're going to give communities to be able to own these things through cooperatives and be able to supply energy for themselves. Then maybe we're not going to be able to have the shutdowns, because communities will look after themselves very well through cooperatives in supplying energy to themselves.
We can follow up to the mayor.
Yes.
No. Yeah, what I needed to do is just the income. In terms of job creation, this
yes.
committee is tasked with the responsibility
yes.
to oversee the work that the department is doing in terms of the target that they set for themselves on job creation. What what I think will be taken from yourself is that with corporate,
yes,
you have a strategy. In terms of your strategy, how many jobs are you intending to create to ensure that the co-op create, or you create through co-op, so that you can be able then to have a clear understanding of whether we're going to gain something. Because we've agreed as a country through the statements from the president, from various ministers, various clusters, that SME, inclusive of cooperatives, has a great potential of creating jobs. So we want to, this is a way of intervening to say, we have targeted so many with so much during this period. And that would sort of help us so that we know exactly what where we're getting to, where we're moving from and where we're getting to. That's the reason why you got this type of approach. Ma'am, you wanted to come in before I give members for follow-up questions.
I'm not sure whether to call you now, or the, but I think there was a question asked on the land issue, whether is it impacting on some of the cooperatives. As far as I know and understand, this CIS money and what we do is not our land function. We refer most of those to the local government, because the municipalities are the ones that have all the provinces where they can give it, but funding is not given to buy the land, because I mean it's a major, very less money that you talk about. But we then have tried to assist the three to refer them then to those departments. But also the saving, we encourage the cooperative to save, because it's part of the commitment that you put in there. So that is also triggering the sustainability part of it from that side. But we don't just receive from other grants, but ongoing to do that. Coordination, I think, is keep on coming back and front. I mean, we said so in our presentation. We are trying to coordinate with the department, but we have not yet got a system that we are adequately keeping with what we have, including the local government. Because most of the LEDs, I'm sure you know, most of the local economic development units or sections in the municipalities don't have adequate budget. Some don't even have those structures working. And then they create an impediment in terms of making sure that they can assist in at that level. But we rely on the provinces where they're working with them to deal with this issue. So some of the issues, they are long-term rather than short-term, that we can start this problem and expect to get good results in a few years. You need them to look at it more as immediate, medium-term, and the long-term.
Thank you very much. Follow-up, Nelson Babungo Nyanga,
Sure. Yes. That's a short one for me. It's on the priorities around the co-ops. In other words, you see, if we intervene all over and this is a situation where we'll not be able to make any impact, you have just said to us that if you go to Brazil, you find Brazil with this kind of a niche on food, for instance. I do know if you go to Italy, footwear, home industry, that's what they specialize on. What is the niche, strategic niche, that you have identified for South Africa? Secondly, in my view, within the context and follow up to the question that Comrade Honorable Member Mubu was raising on the land question, you have said success stories about agriculture in South Africa. Isn't it maybe the case that we need to focus on agriculture? You are not ruling out others. You are focusing on agriculture precisely because you want to deal with the triple challenges that have been pronounced by the President. Inequality, employment, and poverty. You have serious food security problems in South Africa. And therefore, you intervene on agriculture. You intervene on agriculture also precisely because you want to deal with the land question issue. In other words, you promote people to get into the land, into agricultural cooperatives. Because within that context, also you are dealing with the land question, people will be able to have ownership of land and be able to use that land productively. Because land, Chairperson, already given to people has became, in many cases, ornament. It's lying fallow, not utilized for production. In this part and parcel, shouldn't this be part and parcel of that strategy of saying that every piece of land that has been given to people will fall within the context of cooperative, and so that we are able to assist people training and give them the necessary skills. And so basically that's the point that I want. Priority, in other words. What is the mission in South Africa? Are we all over?
Okay. So maybe call off to Georgia. I think there was something of that. That's why they're able to catch you. But the first thing that students they had is over how many years? But methodology
I think the big issue has been addressed education. I was looking at a certain minor question about the citizen of the country. Minister referred to the fact that we can't have land in abundance, but we're just trying to do the best out of the little we have. And on the other hand, we have people who know what information, to put for that, so to qualify for funding, and they go all over.
I also have a follow-up. In terms of the survey, I think one question that I want to ask is, with a new survey, what new methods or measures have you put in place that would perhaps encourage you to do a new survey? When you're back on another survey, it means you put on in place new strategies that would make a difference and that would also encourage you to come up with another survey, meaning that you want to gauge, as the chief director said, you want to gauge the progress from 2008 today. The question is, what really makes you think there would be any difference between 2008 and now? Have you applied any new techniques or methods that would make sure that as you go back to your drawing board, you then find different conclusions? The question related to that is, I know the department has come up in monitoring the work of the three entities, come up Kula and ICC, they've come up with some sort of a dashboard monitoring mechanism wherein they track progress of each of these institutions' work, so that as they come to us, they are able to say, from this time to this time, this is the progress we've made. I'm not sure in terms of your work, whether you have such a tool wherein you know what Northern Cape is doing between now and next week, or between now and next month, or so that you are able to give us the recent update instead of the past update. Those are my two follow-up question. I hope there are no afterthoughts. May I then hand over to the Deputy Minister?
As I alluded to earlier, the uptake and proliferation of co-ops in South Africa should be put in the context of our challenges, particularly the national question. As I said,
These are social forms of ownership intended to change the ownership of metal production. And the question that Honorable Ngonya raised is tied to that point. Because the labor question comes in. The labor question comes in when it comes in, it comes in within the context of us trying to address that challenge as a society. And having, for example, agriculture as a need. Because our view is that there should be an uptake of smallholder agricultural units. So as to ensure that we have a participation of all, particularly your rural communities, your impoverished rural communities. Mr. Nduma would agree that, for example, there has been a close relation that, for example, we that we approach with the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. It is for that, so that when we have challenges, for example, around land, and we then have to link of custodians of those areas, of the area of land and agriculture, we are able to solve that as we come as custodians of enterprise development. And, for example, Mr. Nduma would agree that, for example, in recent case, African Zoo and Owatam, we have a partnership with ITA. And with, for example, the question that you raised, call upon us as the DPI, I think to increase on what constitutes our relations with departments like land reform and staff, so that there's a much more concerted effort to ensure that definitely the land question is addressed. And I would also want to speak to the Minister of Bokmakho of the Coastal Provinces, as you raised with Honorable Ngonya. Yes, it is missing. Yes, it is missing. But also as the DGI, we have things that we have put in place. One of them is led by the Honorable Deputy Minister Tabete, taking the care of the people, ensuring that we go to those areas to create awareness of the product that the DGI has. For example, on the day of March, we've been in Tata to do just that, to ensure that we encourage communities to take on these opportunities and products that the DDI has. So to ensure that there's much more spread, we'll be in Gauteng, we'll also be in the Northern Cape. Northern Cape, in a short time, we have about 3 events there this year. But it's to ensure that we create that awareness, but ensure that also that there's a secure ourselves, because it really is that our communities are not taking advantage of these opportunities that are there. I think Mr. Nimo will then add on to answer some of the questions that were raised either by Chair.
We've got the IT system that is in the pipeline. We're working with our IT unit to come up with a dashboard mechanism to monitor all the departments from district right up to national departments and our staff. So there is an IT system. We presented it. There's just a few technical problems for it to be completed, and it will be operating very soon. So that's how we're going to monitor the activity of property. On the double dipping, we've come up with the cooperative development agency precisely to be able to avoid those kinds of things, because we want to be able to bring all support on cooperatives under one agency, so that we can then be able to make sure that there is no double dipping that takes place. And then we streamline that support. It's not just the support, but it looks at the entire value chain of support, funding, right up to the aftercare. An entity, we don't need just to finance it and give it money, but we must also be able to handle it after it has been funded and look at it after care, and be able to see when there are problems before they become a crisis that will end up creating that entity to collapse. That's why we propose the development agency to be exactly there. The survey that we're proposing is informed by the fact that we already have now an act that has operated for quite some time, which is the 2005. We already have a policy that was adopted as far back as a particular time. We already have policy interventions that we put in place at the national levels of government, at the provincial levels of government. We want to find out, are these instruments yielding the benefits that we are all looking at? Hence then the survey that we want to be able to examine in that regard. We've got in Barbara and Eastern Cape. we've got Gauteng Propeller Funding Cooperatives, we've got all the various NGAs also providing support on the cooperatives and all the other agencies that are there. So we want to be able to carry out the survey and see how are all these supports yielding, what kind of outcome and impact on jobs, on poverty eradication. Are we making an impact? Is it increasing that impact, or is it? That's why we are carrying out that. And also, what are the further interventions that we need to come up with that we can then be able to strengthen the situation? That's what is informing the survey that we have undertaken, which we intend to undertake, Madam Chair.
No, thanks. I think, Chair, some of the questions that came from the Honourable Members here were really not questions, but advice, one or the other. I mean, if you take the question by Honourable Wanyama, you know, the issue of, focusing, maybe focusing even on agriculture. Okay, if you look at the spread of sectors, according to the support and number of co-ops that are active in all these sectors, you can see that agriculture is the one that's performing better in any way. So maybe that's the area that we need to focus on. I think that was a very good suggestion. That came in the form of a question for me,
Being on the opposition, I wanted to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine.
No.
I'm joking.
But in any way, for us, Chair, you know, there's this incubation program that the Minister is talking about. By 2015, we are talking about 250 incubators that we have developed, together with the private sector. Because alone, there's no way government can establish 250 incubators. At the moment, through CEDA, we are managing, there are only about 31. So it's a tough call. And many of those incubators, like Jeff has said, they will be assisting co-op to develop into real sustainable business. Because again, that's the idea. We are not just supporting co-op, for social reasons only. For us, we are an economic department. We support co-op for business, for them to add into job creation, to add into the GDP of the country. That's the whole objective in our view. That's why there are so many other problems that are aligned or designed to at least co-op and SMEs. I think it's high time, Chair, you did it on the name. You said, it's high time SMEs get more support from government. And really, it is. There's been a lot of money being pumped into big business in South Africa. Even today, with as government, DTI and the agencies, we are pumping a lot of money into business. Really, if with the company, if we could do the cost benefit analysis we're talking about now when it comes to co-ops, but if you can do it on this massive incentive for big business, really see what are the cost benefit analysis say? What are the stakes? Are they really giving us the return, I'm not sure what the people would be as long as we would want it to be, But here we have a big chance with the co-op and SME. We have a big chance of putting money and putting in place support measures, infrastructure, to develop SMEs, to develop co-ops, Because as I tell you, with the GIS, the people are talking about it, 150,000, that's the maximum they care. To support 50, 80 people in one co-op, like 350,000, that's not much. But the potential, we're talking about the potential now, going forward, that's why it's very important that, together, the department and with the support of the committee, that we fight for more resources for co-ops and SMEs.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I think this has covered most of the questions that you have been related to us. I think those have been covered. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. And as we conclude, I think we'd like to thank this opportunity for getting those questions. But some were really provocative a little bit, how they were asked. But that's part of the robust decision and active parliament. So don't worry. I think that is very good in an activist parliament. But I must say that looking at this question to us is a process. Is not just going to use good results, very, as I said, we look at it more in terms of short term, medium term, and long term. But overall, as I mean, if you look at those countries, almost the majority of them work over this work. Can be that is 10 years or 5 years that we're talking about. Talking about 30, 40, 50 years of a system, the structure, but also making sure that you deliver it. I think if the question of the advice from member Wenyam on agriculture. I think as you look at the growth path, we've got those that are job drivers, we've got those that we need to look at. And that's why we don't want to limit to agriculture only. But to try and diversify was in the first place. That's why this also moved from agriculture into DTI, because DTI deals with a lot of other problems that we think they'll be able then to fit them in there. But surely we should give priority to those that we believe we can do more and try and deal with the others. But surely we want to diversify. Because to me, that is when we look at the question of the benefit. You can't say agriculture only. You need to look at other measures and also build back the manufacturing industry, because we used to be very good as a country. Surely it's a problem now. I mean, our consumption is more than what we can produce. There's something wrong. We can't import food in South Africa when we have land or whatever, but it goes with all the other issues that are then with that particular problem, and we believe that we'll be able to deal with it. But given the support and advice that you got here, I think we'll get some more, and we'll be able then to see a better cooperative movement working in South Africa. And we thank you very much. We hope that we'll come back with the answers as you dealt with this. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, KM. I think we really benefited a lot from this presentation. I think we have a role, all of us, to ensure that this works. That's why this engagement, and we'll continue to engage for as long as we want South Africa to grow and our people to be out of poverty and to be employed. So this will not be the last. Will not be the last of us. Hopefully, the next time we meet, we will be talking something in terms of financing and so forth. But I must say, politicians, we come up with legislation, policies, strategies, and all that. Yours is implemented. I know Mem Kabet is very passionate for the type of work. It has been a lull for some time. I can see now you are waking up again. It's quite promising. We haven't had too much, but it's been to various provinces, the economic development. We've interacted with the community, somewhat in the corporate business, cooperative businesses, some who are in the SMMEs. We do interact with them. They do give us stories, good and bad. And our role is to ensure that they are happy at all times. So thank you very much. I would also like to thank the members here. Sandy from CEDA. We are aware of the work you are doing. We've met with your counterpart in Brazil. We know of your interaction, your program also. This is what? Yes, we know of such, and there are weaknesses, of course. As you work, all of you, there will be something to criticize on. Know that you have been something. If you don't do anything, you won't have anything. So we'll keep on engaging you just to get more educated, more knowledgeable on issues, and we hope that you won't tire from giving us that. Thank you very much, members, for your participation.
We can excuse the department and we have one
You will send some of these questions in written format so that we respond on each and every one.
Yeah.
You do that too.
So
now the question, yes, I'm the question. And then you will not see them. Yes, just tell them so that you can respond on each and every one of them. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you.